Good afternoon. My name is Celeste, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Quarterly Analyst Relations Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Mr. Gulterman, you may begin your conference.
Yes. Thanks a lot, Celeste. Thanks so much, everyone. This is Jeff Gulterman. First, apologies for the extreme delay in getting started today. We experienced some bridge difficulties, and so we'll now move quickly into our agenda. We wanted to first take the time to introduce the fact that I'm now responsible for the overall program for analyst relations here at Gartner, including responsibility for our analyst relations offerings as well. And wanted to let you guys know I'm really excited about working with this audience again after having worked with many of you in the past during my 14 years here at Gartner. And next, wanted to introduce our agenda. First, we're going to have Michael Yu address all of you and be reintroduced to many of you, where Michael will chat about some important organizational changes that have occurred within our High Tech and Telecom Programs group. And then we will bring up Jenny Lehman, Group Vice President in Research Operations, who will update us on a number of important areas brand new to changes within research ops, research agendas. And then we will focus our time on opening up the floor for Q&A around those topics. So without further ado, let me turn the floor over to Michael Yu.
Great. Thanks, Jeff. Hello, everyone. Apologies again for being late. Let me just introduce myself, and I want to say a couple words about some organizational changes we made in the past couple weeks here at Gartner. As Jeff mentioned, I recently assumed leadership of our high-tech and telecom programs, and replacing Ken Davis, who many of you all know. And just personally speaking, I'm particularly thrilled to be back working with all of you, both as technology service and services clients in general, and each of you individually. As Jeff mentioned, I know that I had the good fortune to meet many of you during 2006 and early 2007, when I was the head of product and strategy and new development for Ken. Looking forward to continue those relationships, and for those of you who I haven't met, looking forward to establishing connections as we move forward. Let me just say one quick word about Ken. I know many of you have gotten to know Ken over the past several years and his role here in high tech and telecom programs. I'm glad to say that Ken is, while he's left our business, he's not moving very far. He's assumed leadership of our end-user programs and will now be serving those Gartner clients who are technology consumers and hence likely to be customers of yours. I know personally that Ken leaves with a bit of a heavy heart since he loves this community quite a bit. It's where his sort of ancestral home is. But I know he's very thrilled to be moving to the challenges in his new role. And Jeff's appearance on this call and his responsibility for the analyst relations community has been necessitated by another change in our organization. Aaron Yaversky, who many of you know from leadership of this call in years past, has decided to leave Gartner and to join Computer Associates, and as a result, Jeff has assumed ownership of this call and of these kind of discussions. Before going further, let me just say that I hope you'll join me in wishing both Ken and Aaron great success in their new roles. For us, we're fortunate that Ken is remaining at Gartner, and we wish Aaron all the best in his new role, and we all miss him desperately and miss him as a colleague. That said, I know these organizational changes probably feel like a lot of change for you, but I want to reassure you that the vast majority of the team that works with you and supports you and your organization has remained unchanged. First, with the exception of the departures of Ken and Aaron, the entire team of product developers, managers, product marketers that work with me has remained nearly the same as when I was last in HTTP a year ago. Second, and Jeff, you have someone who I think many of you know and have worked with in a great deal. He's one of our most seasoned product managers here on the team. And then lastly, for me personally, you know, this is a team and an organization and a set of clients that I know and love quite well, having started my career here in Gartner in this role. Just as a quick aside, for the past year, I actually spent my time leading product development and strategy for our executive programs unit, the unit that serves chief information officers here at Gartner. The last thing I'd like to mention is that even despite the organizational changes, our overall aspiration for Gartner has not changed, and in particular for all of you and for this particular community. Our mission still remains to provide insight and services that help clients such as yourselves and technology and service providers achieve both marketplace success for your companies and individual success for you professionally. For me, the underpinning of this is the only way I know how to do this is for us to continue to have an ongoing dialogue with folks in this space, such as yourselves. And so as a result, over the course of the next few months, I'm hoping to reconnect with those of you who I knew from my previous stint here, as well as connect with the rest of you, and hope to get to meet all of you in the future. The thing that I would ask is ask all of you and encourage all of you to feel free to reach out to me with any comments, concerns, questions, and the like. There's nothing more I enjoy than talking and brainstorming, problem-solving with colleagues both inside and outside of Gartner. For those of you who know our email system, you can reach me at email michael.u, last name is Y-O-O, at gartner.com. And I know this won't be an issue with this particular audience, but please don't be shy about reaching out. Happy to chat. Happy to speak with you further. Okay. With that, let me turn it over to Jenny Lynn.
Thanks, Michael. So I've got a couple things for you today. For those of you who aren't familiar with me in my role, I'm head of the Research Operations Group under Peter Sondergaard. And so I oversee a lot of the programs that we use to execute our research and the way that we interface with our clients. And today I've got one more organizational change for you and then some updates on programs. So let's just go ahead and get started and then we'll open it up to Q&A. The organizational change that I want to share with you has to do with two groups of analysts being merged. Many of you might have known that in the past the analysts that we had in the executive programs research group were separate from the analysts that we had covering IT management strategies. That they were within the research group. And these are two groups that both serve the same constituencies in many ways, working with the CIOs, working with IT management. There was a lot of collaboration between those teams. So the decision was made to merge them together to create one comprehensive and well-coordinated research effort for this constituency. You'll hear us refer to this as the CIO Research Group. They will continue to support our product areas as they did before. We'll continue to be supporting the EP product groups as well as the end user product groups that are focused on the CIO and IT management types of strategies. This team is led by John Kost, rolls up to Peter Sondergaard within research. And so as you hear us refer to that group, we just wanted you to know that that had happened, be aware of it, and get the benefit of the synergies between those two groups being combined. So now let's talk about some other things that are going on in research that are going to impact the way that you see our research, maybe even the way that you use our research. The first thing is that we are going to start publishing more of our research agenda. We've gotten a lot of feedback from our clients all the way around that it would be good to understand more about what we're working on, to be able to anticipate the research that you'll be able to use, as well as to know what Gartner's thinking about by being able to see this agenda ahead of time. Now, we currently publish Magic Quadrants, Market Scopes, in an editorial calendar. The DataQuest teams have for a long time been publishing a lot of detail on their agendas, and we also publish key issues docs. And what the key issues documents are for each of our research agendas, it's a document that talks about what we're covering in that agenda in terms of topics, the problems we're trying to address, those types of things. But what the key issue document didn't do in most cases is it didn't take you down to the detailed list of pieces of research that would be published. Now we will start to do that, and we'll be doing it on Gartner.com. When we start this process, it will not be all of our research. For one thing, a lot of times research happens. You don't always know everything that you're going to publish in a quarter because of market changes and demand. So, but what we will be focusing on are the big things. We refer to them as the big rocks. What are the big pieces of research that are coming out? So you'll see things in addition to Magic Quadrants, Market Scopes. You'll see information about our special reports and key pieces of research that we're going to publish. And we'll be publishing these agendas on the end user side by each of the roles. So for each of the end user roles and those constituencies, you'll be able to expect to see that research published, that research agenda published. And that'll be starting in the late July timeframe. Now, what's even more important to this audience, though, is that we'll also start publishing an agenda for the AR constituency through the AR product. And that agenda will be a consolidation of the things that you would see for each of the IT leader roles, but it's additional information that we know is important to the AR role. So you can expect to see more information about the DataQuest types of research, and including things like SWOTs and the other pieces of research that you would be anticipating from that group. So this is should be very helpful for you to be able to see what's coming and to be able to keep track of what the analysts that you're particularly aligned with might be working on. So that's the first big thing. Expect to see that in July. There are a couple other things that we thought you'd be interested in knowing about that they're going on. The next thing is that we have a pilot going on around localization around regions, and we're doing it in Germany. We're kind, you know, continue to explore how we can create great value through differentiation. And so this pilot is looking at how we address not translation for a region, but how do we create role and research specific to a market. And so what we're putting on this is, you know, what is the research that's specific only to that market, as well as what is the spin for that market on research that is more global in nature. What we're doing is testing the implications of using local language in the documents as well in an inquiry, and we're going to try to test the value proposition, understand what's the best way to address regional specific types of research, and also learn how we might want to do it in other areas. So that's going on now, and if you're doing business in Germany, for sure you would want to be aware that this pilot is underway. We'd want you to take a look at that research and when appropriate, give us feedback as to the value that it provides to you, and so that we can learn from this pilot and expand that coverage. Another thing that I wanted to give you a quick update on is in the area of research quality. We've been sharing information about research quality and the work that we're doing to continue our quality with you over the last 2 years. And I just wanted to let you know that, you know, that work continues. There's lots of ways that we're addressing that. But there are two surveys that we're doing now that are really focused on document quality. And we thought you just might be interested to know that we're doing this. Many of you participated in surveys in the past. You've helped us through focus groups. You've given us direct feedback. But these surveys are focused in two ways to understand how our clients are using our written research and their perception of the quality of our written research. The first is a survey that we have completed now of clients who are using our research on Gartner.com. Once they access the research, we send out a survey to get their feedback. We had a really great response to that, and we're going to use that information to understand how we can best address quality issues with that written research. Then the next thing we're going to do is we're also adding a survey as part of our inquiry satisfaction surveys. After, many of you probably know that after inquiries, our client inquiries, we contact many of our clients and ask them about their level of satisfaction with the inquiry process as well as the content that was covered. Well, we're going to add on to that and ask a few questions about the documents, if they were used as part of that same content that they were interested in, and how valuable that content was to them. It's just really important for us to continue to look at different ways to get feedback on the quality of our research and how our clients are feeling about that research. Another thing that we're doing is we're increasing the number of guidelines and direction that we're providing to our analysts about using facts within the research. Some of the feedback that we've gotten directly from you has been associated with that. We've done focus groups on that. Thank you for those of you who participated in that last fall. And so those guidelines will be going out to give analysts more feedback as to what information our clients want to know about facts when they use them. So when we reference a survey, when we reference a particularly series of questions that we might have got from clients as to, you know, what guidelines we would want them to use to support that information. And then finally, one last thing is that we have updated our peer review policy. You would know that all of our research goes through a peer review process. That's a very important aspect of our quality program. And as of recently, we just refreshed that policy to make sure that we have all of our bases covered and to make sure that when we are doing our peer review, that we're making sure everyone who needs to be involved in the peer review process is involved, which includes vetting of our research with lead vendor analysts, cross-team, industry, regions, subject matter experts, and those types of things. This isn't a change in our policy, but I just wanted you to be aware that we continue to look at our policies, update them, and refresh them along the way. The next topic I wanted to share with you is just a little bit about research themes and the themes that that we will be working on in our research over the coming, let's say, 12 months and beyond for many of these themes. You know that in addition to the topics and roles and industry coverage that we have, we also have research themes that we cover that are really important to the thread of our research. They cross all of the boundaries, and most all organizations within research organizations actually write to these themes from their perspective. The coordination of these themes is facilitated through our Senior Research Board. And it usually is representing new or emerging topics that will impact IT users and markets, or they're existing topics that have new relevance or a greater impact because of change in the business or the economic environment. Now, for you, the reason that we're bringing this up for you as AR professionals is that you can expect to get questions about these themes within the context of your products, the technology, the market that you're in. And we just wanted you to be aware of them and be thinking about them so that when you're interacting with analysts, you'll know that they might be asking about these things, and you'll also know that this is a point of reference for them. You'll know that they very well might be involved in research around those areas. You might want to be anticipating the research in those areas so that you can respond to it and represent your organization as well. But it's also things that you might want to highlight to your product marketing teams, to your product management teams, that our research is focused on, and they want to keep an eye on that research as it applies to them and the work that they're doing as well. So just to give you kind of a thumbnail of each of those themes, the first one is Green IT. That one is championed by Simon Mingay. Second is Consumerization of IT, championed by David Mitchell Smith. Alternative Delivery and Acquisition Models, championed by Claudio DeRolt and Mark Margavels. Cloud Computing, David Smith and David Curley. Modernization of IT is championed by Del Vecchio. IT That Matters, championed by Ken McGee. And finally, The Business Impact of Social Computing, and that Nikos Drakos and Adam Sarner. And so many of these we have been writing research about, so these aren't new themes. I just wanted you to be aware that these are the established themes that we're working against under the leadership of the SRB right now. So you want to watch for that research, and again, and be aware that there'll be things coming along from that research. Two final things. The first is we will be having focus groups again this fall. We typically run them once, twice a year, and the focus groups are really around our research methodology and our objectivity. So we are working on the specific topics that we will be covering in the fall right now, defining that. And if you're interested in participating, we just wanted to let you know that, that those will be this fall. And you should let us know or the AE from Gartner that you work with if you're a client. But it's open to anyone who will be attending the Orlando Symposium, quite likely be in Cannes as well. And if you'd like to participate in those focus groups, just let us know. And then finally, I just wanted to point out some research that you might want to watch for. If it hasn't come across your desk at this point or you haven't noticed it, the hype cycle is special report will soon be published, but the hype cycles themselves, for the most part, are published. And that is a big push of research. Probably between hype cycles and magic quadrants, those are the pieces of research that get the most attention from our clients. And so you should want to be aware of what your users that use Gartner as well would be reading. We have a special report that was just published in May, IT Modernization. That special report is out there. An IT Budget Optimization series of reports were published throughout the first half of 08. That will continue as well. But that has there's been a lot of interest around that research. There's a special report on cloud computing that's going out now. And finally, we have just recently updated our Inside Gartner research, and that's published on Gartner.com as well. Inside Gartner research is an overview of our research methodology and processes. So if you have someone who's new into the AR role, it's a good place to get them started and have them take a look at that information. If you need language around how to talk about how Gartner does their research, it's also a really good place for you to look, and it was just, again, recently updated and available to you. So I hope these updates from research were helpful for you, and I think what we want to do now is to just give you the opportunity to ask questions about the things that are most important to you. So if we can ask Celeste to open up the floor for questions, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We will pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster.
Celeste, this is Jeff Goldsman. Jenny, thanks so much. Great overview. Because we've heard a lot of the needs from our AR clients that you and rest of research has addressed in your announcements. I'm really looking forward to hearing the feedback from the team. As we're gathering up questions, we just want to reiterate again to the audience and apologize for, again, the delay in getting the call started earlier. We know that that was not a very good use of your time, and we, again, certainly apologize and take full responsibility for that. So we look forward to hearing your feedback and getting your questions right now. Thanks, everyone.
Your first question comes from the line of Peggy O'Neill.
Jeff, Jenny, thanks for the call. I just had two questions on Jenny's section. First, in the new CIO research group, you did mention that there was some overlap and it makes sense to merge the two groups. As a result of that, are there going to be any layoffs? Will any analysts in either group be leaving the company as a result of the duplication?
Actually, it's not overlap as much as collaboration. There was a lot of collaboration between those groups. And so, no, we don't anticipate that there will be any reduction in staff in that area, and actually anticipate that our ability to respond to that constituency will be improved and might even expand.
Great. And then the other question I had, Jenny, was your announcement about publishing a research agenda. You said that it 'd be available through the AR product, and it would be also available through publishing by role. I guess that's Gartner for IT leaders.
Yes.
Is it available through core research? If you only purchase core research, would you be able to get it if you're an AR manager?
You know, Jeff, did you want to take the question since that's more of a product question?
Sure, sure. Hey, Peggy, how are you? Great to hear your voice. Yeah, actually, Peggy, we're planning on publishing that as part of the you know, the core offering, and our strategy on that one is to, knowing that there's many clients that want to be able to receive insights into our agendas, for the analyst relations function in particular, we'll be doing, you know, some AR specific navigations of that. Of those agendas within the AR offering, but we will publish that within core as well.
Great. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Carter Lesher.
Hello, Michael. Hello, Jeff. Congratulations on the new roles.
Thanks, Carter. How
Thanks,
are
Carter.
You?
Good to hear your voice, too.
Good. Quick question for you. Actually, two quick questions. One is, in the newsletter, it was listed that Andy Rosenblatt was taking over HCTP. Is that still the case, or Michael, that has changed since the newsletter went out?
So Andy is actually, Andy is remaining within HTTP. Andy is taking over product management responsibilities for the analyst relations product. And we would have, had we started on time, we would have taken the time to introduce him today. Andy is a longtime member of the HTTP team. In fact, part of the reason why we selected him to be the product manager is that he, along with Aaron, were the folks who were most critically responsible in launching the versions of the product that we've seen overall. Does that help, Carter?
Yes, it does. Thank you. The second question is for Jenny, and this concerns the publication of the research agendas by role. You mentioned that the agendas that would be available for the AR role would be a consolidation of the end-user roles plus, you know, some DEQ and other vendor-specific activities. Curious about the consolidation of the information around the end-user roles because, frankly, that's what a lot of the AR people really want to know about is, well, what's being published for the end-users so that we know to go educate the analysts. So is it a consolidation in that it's all the end-user research is going to be listed, or will it just be you picking and choosing what you think is the most relevant?
This is a consolidation of what's being published in the other end-user roles. So we're not publishing any additional end-user research notes. We're not in the agenda for the AR role. So it'll be the things that we've already made available to the end-user.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Irene Mirages.
Hi, folks. Thanks for the call. I've got a suggestion and then a question. My suggestion is that I can't type fast enough to take down all the information that you gave during this segment, and I'm wondering why you don't use WebEx or something to, you know, give us some of the details, like the themes and who's heading them up and that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely, right? Or alternatively, send that out in a separate format so literally you don't have to type that up.
Right. I mean, that is, frankly, I've got to tell you, I've been asking the question of both my account rep and various analysts that I talk to, you know, as an example, who at Gartner is looking at cloud? And I get sort of the, well, we have it all over the place. So I guess my ask of you is if you know, David Smith is heading up consumerization, can you make us aware of who in the other teams make up that virtual team that are looking at those themes?
Yeah. Irene, let me take a crack at this. So there's a piece of this which is tactically, there's a bunch of information we went through verbally in this call that we can document and send out to all of you. The answer to that one is absolutely yes. That's a perfectly reasonable request and a perfectly reasonable thing for us to do. Jenny, relative to Irene's question about the broader team behind David and cloud computing?
And not just cloud, but all of the themes that were mentioned.
Yeah, the thing is that one of the things that, you know, when we have a theme like that, cloud computing, it literally goes across all of research. So it's really difficult to say specifically, you know, to have that list. But one of the best ways for you to be able to see who the key contributors are is that when we do these themes, we typically do a special report that goes with them. That will give you Gartner's position on the technology or whatever the topic it is, and it will tell you, give you a good sense of how we're covering it, what are all the different elements, as well as the people who are writing to those special reports are the lead analysts in those specific areas. So themes tend to be pretty dynamic. There's a natural life to them. They come, they go. Some stay for a long time. Some are very short. So we don't have a formal way of posting those groups like, for instance, you can see teams by topic on Gartner.com. So I think that would be my guidance as the best way to get that, as well as, you know, when you're talking to the analysts that you're most closely aligned to, have conversations with them as to who's covering topics that are important and relevant to your space.
And I've done that, but let me tell you, my frustration is they don't know. And let me also tell you that you know, your competitors can certainly tell me who's working on cloud or consumerization or whatever. So we as vendors can make sure that the appropriate analysts are kept up to date. But if we're have to wait for research to be published and then figure out who we haven't talked to, it puts us all behind the eight ball.
Again, I think that the reason it's more complex from Gartner is because we have such a broad set of analysts, the number of analysts that are covering the topic, and when it comes to themes, they cross all of those areas. So we're talking about 600 analysts that are in some way or shape or form touching these themes. For instance, when we at the first of the year decided to do a focus on the IT optimization, the budget optimization, literally every analyst was asked to look at this for the topic areas that they cover and consider the impact and value to clients to writing to that. So I think that's the difference. In a smaller organization where things are more focused, it might be easier to do that. But I also hear you. I think it's a valid question that you're asking, and something that that we need to discuss, even if it's a matter of discussing with analysts about how they help communicate when they're talking about their space.
Or if we're going to do a briefing, who do we invite?
Right.
It's a great point. The other thing I'll say is let us take a crack at thinking about what the temporary solution is or the intermediate solution there is. We might not be able to tell the entire team to its all full guts and glory given how dynamic it is. I'm guessing there must be three or four folks beyond the lead analyst. And let me see what we can do with Jenny to see what we can do to address that issue, because I understand you, right? By the time you get the research, it's too late to actually know who you should have talked to.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Susan Dial.
Hi, this is Susan Dial with Avaya, and my question actually sort of ties on very nicely to the last one. This is an area where we also really need your help and your guidance on how we might be able to change this particular policy. And it's the policy of on regularly scheduled yearly market share reports or regularly scheduled yearly reports like the Magic Quadrants, that we are not allowed to utilize those numbers even when the next year's report is late and not published yet. It can be really business impacting, especially when we're talking about market share and being able to utilize those numbers until they become obsolete when the updated report is published. But it's cut off immediately at a year, and sometimes we're waiting 3 or 4 months before the updated report is published. And it's really problematic for our business.
Let me respond to this, Jenny. And the thing about using the research is that we would have to look at each individual piece of research and know after 12 months if it would still be appropriate to use it within the context that you want to use it, and it's not scalable. But that's also the reason why we want to make agendas more visible so that you know when the next reports are planned to be available and so that you know when you'll have that content available.
But that doesn't help.
And we are also working on the management of publishing those in a timely fashion so that we don't have the gaps in the coverage.
We've been hearing that for 4 years. There's always going to be gaps in coverage, always. And let's be realistic about that. It's very nice. It'd be wonderful if there weren't. And that would solve the problem immediately. But that's never going to happen. And honestly, those numbers stand or are valid, frankly, until the next report is published that updates them. There's not a magic cutoff that suddenly, you know, a year later, it's completely invalid. I mean, if it's another 2 months before the updated report is published, those are the only numbers we have to work with. And we need to be able to use those numbers until the new report is updated and available.
So we'll follow up on this and look into this. But the number one thing behind our policy is just making sure that the research that's published with the Gartner brand is current and fresh, and making sure that you know, those numbers are represented correctly. So this is something that we, again, can continue to look at.
We really need your help to actually change that policy. And it can be okay. I just need to really push on this, because we've been pushing as an AR community on this for so long, and we keep getting the same answers. And you know, it's completely valid if, for example, you've got an analyst, like, let's not pick on him, but let's mention the name of Eric Goodness, who is chronically late, and you know, will be a year late getting something out. Okay, I can understand cutting it off at some point. You know, when the report is actually that late, I can understand that. That's valid. But when we're talking about a matter of 2 or 3 months, or even less than a month, or just a month, you know, it is hard to understand what magic occurs that, you know, on one date it's valid and 3 weeks later it's not valid.
Well,
you know,
so one of the things is that we have to look at is that we publish over 8,000 pieces of research a year.
Right.
So we do have to have a date where we say, you know what, at this point it either is archived or it has to be refreshed. It has to have analysts go in and validate that this is still current and is still useful. One thing, and as I say, we will, you know, follow up and look at this, but one thing to keep in mind is that the same rule applies for the analysts. So the analysts can also not use that information. So if they're doing a presentation at a conference and their Magic Quadrant is more than a year old, they cannot use it. So the same rule applies for them as well.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Molly Siebel.
Hi, I have a question regarding the agenda. When you publish the Magic Quadrants, it would help us out quite a bit if you would specify whether a Magic Quadrant is for a product or a service. For example, a CRM MQ, is that the software product, or is that CRM services from a company like Capgemini?
So when you're talking about in the agenda where we publish that, now we just publish the title.
No, it's a CRM MQ.
Right, so you're saying it would be good to have a descriptor with that so it was more clear as to what we'd be covering. Okay.
Meaningful title.
Okay. Okay. Good point. I'll be happy to take that one back.
Your next question comes from the line of Carolyn Polanka.
Hi, guys. This is Terry Polanka from Sun. And actually, everybody else has already asked my questions, so I don't need to bother you with them, but I will reiterate the plea to publish out the research themes to all of us and to do it on a proactive basis as much as possible.
So I think one of the things that we can do for certain is following up from today's call is to get the list of themes that I shared with you with the champion and give you at least the, you know, let's say the top analysts, maybe 4 to 6 top analysts covering that that topic or that leading the effort in that theme.
That would be excellent. Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, that's star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star 1 to ask a question. And you have no further question.
Well, thanks, everyone. This is Jeff again. We also want to reiterate our apologies for the delay. Wanted to encourage many of you to not only continue to send us some color around a lot of the issues that you raised here today, a lot of good issues. We'll feed back to you our progress on those. Number two, if there are additional questions and issues that we didn't get a chance to hear from you about today, we do have an email address that you can contact us on. Michael offered his email address. My email address as well is jeff.goldterman@gartner.com that you can forward your additional questions and concerns. And so we want to thank you all very, very much for your time. Jenny, thank you. Michael, thank you very much. And we look forward to hearing from all of you on the next call.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, We would like to apologize about the inconvenience of the hold time before conference start time. We would like to say that this is at no fault of Gartner, but at the fault of Intercall. At this time, you may now disconnect.